talk, a No Facts, All Feelings, Try Guys podcast. It's a little light levity. Levity by its nature light, some might say. Okay, welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings, Still Wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we're all miserable. We're not doing good. Ladies, do you agree with what I'm saying here? We're not doing well.
I think we've sunk into the bad place.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad to not know what's happening with your faves.
It's hit a point where I'm just bored by depressed I am. Like, I'm like, there's nothing new to say. Like, it's not like anything changed between last week and this week. It's just that whatever resources I have are another week depleted.
Yeah, honestly, like, nothing's changed for so long. Since, like, the Wednesday after Labor Day, everything has been the same.
Winter is ever closer, but my store of acorns shrinks and shrinks.
It's not the time to be depleting our stores of acorns. We've got
the sun goes down so early, Tony, but we have nothing to eat when the cold comes.
No.
It's pretty rough out there, honestly. It's pretty rough for us. That's it. That's the podcast this week. No, we talk about the wrestling. Because we make this podcast, we watch the wrestling. And it's difficult to feel like, under normal circumstances, many things happen that I would enjoy. And some things did happen that I enjoyed with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. But I do have an anxiety disorder, Tony, and I really can't be left in limbo about things. Like, that's what I don't prefer.
While things keep going crazy backstage, we're still in chaos, and probably the reason you haven't heard is that Tony Khan has to fist fight his way to the room where the investigation's taking place, and he can't get there. You know,
that's right. They're blocking him from the room. Tony,
it might have concluded 3 weeks ago, but Tony doesn't know.
Is this a little Eight Evil Exes situation? Like, to get to the investigation, Tony has to defeat the eight members of the AEW roster who want to go back to WWE. And if he can defeat each of them in turn, then he will be able to conclude the investigation. And
this week, his showdown with Andrade.
That's right.
We'll
and we already had his showdown with Malakai and Bronk.
And Bronk, yeah.
No, Bronk is the one we like. Buddy is also a man. Well,
So he is making his way through them. So, you know, I can't wait till he fights his way through the eighth one and finally finds those lawyers and gets to the bottom of what happened.
You get those lawyers, Tony. You go find them.
You know, when there was a fight with 75 witnesses, at least one of whom was the head of HR and legal, how can you know what happened, really?
It's very hard to get to the bottom of that kind of thing. And I think we've acknowledged that. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's difficult my new theory is now that it's a full scale investigation that's just about whether or not the Bucks do gossip backstage. And so they're actually just sitting people down and being like, and so have they ever said anything pretty bitchy to you or...
They're going to censure them officially.
Does anyone, before we get into the events of the week, does anyone have something that made them happy this week they want to share?
About wrestling or about anything?
Not just about anything, kind of.
I got a new logic puzzle book in the mail today, and that honestly really made my day. My mood is about 10 times higher, which is one of the saddest things that's happened to me. But
10 times is a pretty big jump for a logic puzzle book, but I love that for you. I support you.
Yeah, but you know when your health points are pretty low, a 10 times jump doesn't really add up to that much, you know? So
one times one is one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's math, baby.
I finished Naomi Novik's new book.
That was
pretty much the highlight. Did you finish it?
I did finish it, but I haven't been. I was so busy today that I haven't gotten to get into it you and our other friend. But I will be. I'll be weighing in. Yes.
Oh yeah, we'll need to get into that then. But
yeah, but I had a really good time. I have to say there were a lot of twists. But there was one moment where I out loud gasped when I realized what was going on. And then was like, even though it was in the book, then was immediately opening up a Google Doc to be like, is that right? And trying to figure out that happened and then that happened. Yes, that happened and then that happened. It was very funny. I was like Pepe Silvia over there just being like, oh my God, the twist works. So I recommend. I had a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, I read all three this week, so I was really on one.
I've been reading them as they come out, which I don't recommend because, like, you just spend a lot of time, like, being like, God, I wish I was reading it. But, hey, at least none of the people in that book got suspended.
No. I was about to be like, oh, books can't hurt you. But actually, if you have to wait 2 years after a cliffhanger to read the next one, they kind of can hurt you, I guess.
Well, that's why I refused to start the series. I was like, right. I won't do it. Yeah. I did say that a little chidingly. And as I said, that's my...
I was kind of talking about Leah, who said she read them as they came out, so...
Well, I wanted to make it about me.
I know.
I don't have what people call impulse control, so yeah, that's never, like, an option. Like, you could tell me until I'm blue in the face that, like, I should wait till all three books come out, and I won't. And then I'll complain about it. That's the pleasure of me.
That's your right as an American.
So you're a whiner, I'm self-centered, and Anne loves logic puzzles, so that's our good... That's our good stuff for the week. I'm going to move this to the end. We can do a sum up at the end if that's okay about the anniversary show. So let's just get right into it by talking about I hope I presented this in a kind of a reasonable way. Okay, so on Rampage last week, John Silver fought Roosh. I don't know why, and actually, I don't want you to explain it to me at this time. So is that okay? Yeah, sure. Let's move on.
Can't explain anymore.
John Silver lost, and then Roosh, Andrade, and Jose the assistant were beating him up, and Hangman came out. He was wearing a yellow shirt. That color is, like, that kind of, like, marigold.
Yeah.
So beautiful and looked so good on him.
I think it was a Buckshot Lariat shirt, so.
Oh, I could get it.
You could own it.
I'm gonna buy it. I love that color. I think it's so beautiful. It's probably gonna look bad on me. No, I think it'll look nice.
I think you'll pull it off. Hangman can pull off on almost anything, though. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, he's just perfect. But
he's the most beautiful man.
So he came out and was like, don't beat up John Silver. He got into it with Roosh. Roosh left. And a Roosh Hangman match was set for Dynamite. Okay, hold that in your mind. Now, also on Rampage, the Dark Order told Hangman that they were going to support him in his fight against Mox in Cincinnati before being interrupted by Andrade and his crew. So Andrade baited 10 into accepting a match in which 10's mask, given to him by Brody Lee, would be on the line against Andrade's AEW career. So if Andrade lost... he would have to leave AEW. Now, we enter the realm of what those in the know call the work shoot here. Mm-hmm. Because speculation has been that Andrade does want to leave AEW and go back to WWE, and that Tony Khan is not letting him. And so I think we all had some kind of questions about, like, where this was heading. Mm-hmm. But now we will never find out, because in the interim between that Rampage and this Dynamite, Andrade gave an interview, which I believe he maybe didn't have permission to give, in which he basically called Sammy Guevara a whiner, a backstage whiner.
He was like, yeah, CM Punk, The Elite, those guys are all cool. You know who I do have a problem with, though? Sammy Guevara.
Which is funny.
Very funny.
I think he also was like, I'm not going to name names about who I have problems with, but it's Sammy Guevara. Yeah.
The one name that no one is afraid to name. So he was like, I have a problem with Sammy. Sammy immediately... so predictable. It just hops on Twitter and is like, if you have a beef with me, say it to my face. They get into a back and forth. Everyone
and
is being...
Andrade like, I did say it to your face. Like, I came up and was a real bitch to you.
We're laughing, but it's tiresome.
Tiresome.
I was like, I assume, because they've been doing all these meta angles, which we'll get to later, but I was like, I assume this is an angle because they're being so embarrassing. Like, they're not even, like, insulting each other, interestingly. So I just am like, well, yeah, because they're just bad actors, so they're doing bad writing, I guess. But it turned out it was their real selves. Ugh. Because...
and it was so, like, we are laughing, but it was just like, this is so boring. I have so little interest in a feud between these two while this other feud is, like, on real life. I don't know. It's just like,
who has the time? Nobody cares about
together.
You. Nobody cares about either of you. I guess people do, but it's not me.
Ugh, who?
Anyway, so... what happened ultimately, I guess Tony Khan apparently told everybody, don't fight each other or you'll get sent home, and told Andrade, don't get in a fight because I won't fire you over it. I'll just send you home. But Andrade still showed up to Dynamite and punched Sammy. So we got some of this before Dynamite, it was...
Like, right before, like, moments before, I feel like.
Yeah, it was, like, an hour before. It was before, but it was very shortly before. It could have been less than an hour. But we got it from TMZ because apparently Andrade called TMZ to give them a story. So he gave them a story that wasn't right.
Because he said Sammy had been suspended too, right? And TMZ was just like, going depressed.
Yes, and he also said that Sammy started the fight, but apparently a lot of people saw it and he didn't. We don't even have to, we're only talking about it this much because I don't even know why. It's just so insane.
Everything backstage has just entered the realm of farce, basically. Like, give me a break.
I'm so sleepy. Just a sleepy girl, Tony. I'm trying to escape. It's escapism. Look it up. I mean, you go away from your bad feelings. You go into your good ones. Mm-hmm. Try it sometime.
This whole worksheet thing also, like, pretty tedious, like, before all, like, they were having their stupid little Twitter fights, too, because it was just, like, I don't know, like, some of the worksheets, like, when they're doing, like contract tampering storylines that are like referencing WWE, I'm like, sure, like, dunk on WWE, like, that's kind of funny. But when it's like, haha, Andrade doesn't want to be here because our locker room's in disarray, like, that's not fun for me because it makes me think about how you're a terrible manager. So I feel like you should draw my attention away from that, maybe.
Right. And well, I mean, like, if they had done this last year, I think we would have like a different, like, I don't think any of the three of us would ever be like, this is so much fun. But like last year, I think we would have been like, well, it's, you know, thing they're doing. We have no acorns. I can't be doing this right now. There's no acorns in my tree.
Why are you trying to steal more of my acorns? I can't. There are none left.
I can't do any more angles about how AEW is unpleasant to work at. I just can't. Yeah.
No. And I think there's a lot of, like, with this one, it's like, I don't really know where any of it started, and I don't know whose idea it was to do the, like, Andrade's AEW career on the line, and we don't know how that was ever going to turn out, and I thought this thing with Sammy was a work, and it's not. It's just little dummies being stupid and whatever. So, And I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with them, but stop inflicting it on me. That's all I feel. I'm like, it's not my job to be feeling stressed about this. I'm a mere viewer.
We all have our own workplaces that we are infuriated by from time to time. I don't need to, like, be stressed about other people's workplaces. This is the entertainment show I watch for entertainment, to not think about how terrible the actual world is. So if we could just focus on that for a while, AEW, that would be helpful.
Maybe a lesson here about how nothing is entertaining. I don't know. is that anything?
Just say, well, the sun sure is setting earlier and there's no joy on earth. So, you know.
Well... So instead of the Andrade 10 match on Rampage this week, we're going to be getting Dark Order versus Death Triangle. So I was just going to check in. Any thoughts about potential plot implications of that trio's match? Do you think Dark Order is going to win? No.
No. I think Dark Order is going to keep those trios belts. I think that Pac is going to lose the study abroad belt to Ethan eventually, but like, I think they're going to keep those trios belts for a little while. So I think this is just something to be like, but 10, you're not in trouble. You're a good boy and you're fine.
And you're fine. And Papa Tony said you could have a match and you can have a, you can have a match.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You still get a match.
I do think it had to be like 10 is done wearing that mask because like he like posts selfies with his like face all the time on Twitter. So it's not like he's like committed. It's not like it's an Evil Uno thing where he's like blurring like out his face all the time. Yeah,
too hideous for human form to view. Yeah,
what? Yeah, and now I'm like, when are you gonna get it off then? Who's gonna take the mask off for you?
That's what I'm
funny
I'm,
that like once you start wearing it, like you have to have like a reason to take it off, or else everyone's just gonna ask you so many questions. It's gonna be really annoying.
Well, isn't that kind of like? Did you guys have like that one kid when you were in college on campus who like dressed like a Jedi every day or like dressed like a pirate every day and then like eventually had to reckon with the fact that that was their full college identity and had to make like an on-purpose decision to be like, I won't be Jedi boy anymore? Because I did both of those.
There was a guy who lived in the the freshman dorm, like across from me, like our windows face each other. And he had a sword that he would practice with, yeah, with the blinds wide open. And it was sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, PAC is now scheduled for 2 matches tomorrow. So it's that trios match and then also study abroad match versus Trent for OC's honor. Mm-hmm. Because OC was injured by PAC's the bell hammer that PAC hit him with.
I like thinking of it as PAC's hammer, though, like he's Thor a little bit. That's yeah, nice.
That's kind of fun.
It's his hammer from the sea.
Yeah. And then I think he's on vacation. Do you think he's on vacation?
I don't know. Darius Martin retweeted a picture of him today, and I couldn't tell where it was from or, like, when it was from, but it looked cute.
Hmm. Well, I need to immediately go look at that.
Oh, well, not immediately. Well, like, that was
too
like
late.
Teacher, I'm like, stop! You stop that right now. We're in the middle of the podcast.
It's too late. I also already shopped for Hangman's Buckshot Lariat shirt, so you can't.
This bitch isn't even paying attention.
Just online shopping.
A cute picture, but yeah, I can't tell where it is. Some kind of bar.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess he's not on vacation.
Well, he could be on vacation.
Yeah, I don't know when that picture's
from.
With Darius
Martin?
Did he go to Alaska this weekend? Didn't he have some indie match?
Oh, he did. Yeah. Yeah, he did. And someone else was there.
Was it Darius Martin?
Maybe.
No, maybe, but it was someone else, too. It was another man. This is a good podcast. Everyone says it's fun. Okay, so Andrade was badly behaved, but Roosh is fine, which seems to be funny to people who know stuff about Roosh. They're like, he's really turned over a new leaf, but I don't know anything about him, so I just like him normal. He still fought Hangman on Dynamite, so this is a good match. No complaints. It's just not really the point of what we're about to discuss. Private Party came out afterwards, and kind of tentatively, to try and jump Hangman. I think this is part of the contract tampering storyline that I've completely tuned out and just, like, refused to get involved with. Like, I'm like, not on my time, Tony. You do that yourself.
That's completely fair. You, like, there are things that I've tuned out on, but, like, in my quest to have a single good piece of serotonin, I'm weirdly fixated. I'm like,
this is
Private Party. Yeah, I'm like, Private Party is actually doing really good work right now. Like, I mean, I think they're trying really hard. They had this whole promo where because Andrade wasn't there, so Roosh and Jose were like, here are all the times that you haven't shown up for us. So this match, you have to come out and you have to beat up Hangman. And they were like, fine, I guess.
That's sweet.
Yeah, and then they
came
out.
Private Party is very cute, and they have good personalities.
I like them. It's too bad.
Like Matt Hardy is weighing them down for me because that makes it hard for me to enjoy it as much.
He's very sorry about his behaviors, and he cares for them now.
I kind of like his father lover redemption arc. I think that's a good lesson for people to learn. Like, you make mistakes, you get better, you give back to your community, you know?
Yeah. And it was a perfect bite-sized little storyline to put on BTE and have it continue over a number of weeks. And now BTE's gone, and those storylines are dead.
That sounds so familiar. BTE. Hmm. What is that?
We'll never have happiness.
Never mind. Oh, it's off. Okay, so they came out, I guess, to try and do but unwillingly to do a fight. But then mm-hmm. Mox immediately came out and just kind of gave him the hairy eyeball. Like, don't even start with me right now.
He shook his head so theatrically where he was like, no.
No, boys.
And they, like, backed up. Like, they were like, oh, thank God. No, that's okay. We didn't want to be here. It's fine. We didn't want to be here.
Yeah, and so then Mox and Hangman had another promo where they got titty to titty and circled mm-hmm. each other, and mm-hmm. Mox really got into, you know, he was, you know, Mox is so good at giving promos that, like, really build the other guy up and make you think, like, oh, yes, I want to see this fight, actually a lot of people are not that good at.
No. Which is funny because it's kind of their one job. Like,
yeah. I mean, there's multiple people on Twitter and Tumblr who are like, I've been waiting for this for a long time. And it's not that I'm mad to see it. It just hadn't occurred to me where I was like, oh, I've just never thought about Mox and Hangman in the same room. And, like, Mox coming up there and being like, I've been waiting for this. I've been dying for this. I believed him. Even though, like, I've never, like, thought about them interacting
well,
before.
Well, you I'm have, like, because we were on the verge of being really excited about it because we did think Mox is going to be Hangman's first big feud as a champ.
Yeah.
But then
I guess I think I was I was spending too much time thinking about Mock's OC before. Like,
I see. That is right where it went off the rails. You're right. We hadn't gotten to the next
one. We hadn't gotten to it. Yes. I think it was looming. Yeah. I think we were happy about it looming. But I just, it's just not something that I was like daydreaming about how it was going to go. But the second Mox was like, I've been waiting for this for 3 years. Instantly, my body was like, oh, we all have. We've all been waiting for this.
My body's been ready.
And I thought Mox did such a good job, too, of, like, doing, like, little nods to inside baseball in a way that, like, didn't annoy me. Because, like, he said, like, I, you know, want to be world champion and the best in the world. Like, that best in the world, using that phrase. And then also, like, when Hangman, like, was like, oh, have a match right now. And it was, like, kind of undoing the time when Punk, like, called Hangman out when he wasn't supposed to come out and then made him look like a coward, you know. Like, they did a good job of just sort of, like, rolling back some of the Punk damage, I thought.
I had cruised over to Reddit just to try and, like, you know, sometimes I just go over there to get mad, really, just to, like, read takes that make me mad. And I did see someone, oh, maybe this was on Twitter, whatever, doesn't matter, someone being like, well, it kind of does seem like in that moment maybe Hangman went into business for himself a little bit. And I was like, I've got to just go into the sea with Pac, and I won't be coming back. If you can't watch a, like, a segment on wrestling television and know when it's been planned, like, grow up. You need to grow up. You have to grow up now. We can't keep doing this.
I do feel like go into business for himself is one of those phrases that I do think everybody should be, like, banned from using for 6 months.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the Cosmo gaslight thing. Like, it's like, shut it down now. We won't be talking about gaslighting anymore for a while.
Yeah. It's over. You can't be trusted.
We need a society-wide timeout, like from Batman movies, which we're not getting, but we need.
They do timeout in those?
No, we should have a timeout from Batman. We shouldn't make any more Batman movies or Spider-Man movies for like another decade. Literally, that's my position. Like,
I don't really be watching those movies anymore. So he said everyone to time
out. Batman's like, time out, guys, time out. And then they all sit down.
He put the Joker in time out. He put the Penguin in time out.
I was just like, wow, those movies have gone in a direction I didn't really understand. But I guess that I did think, you know, people thought that once little Robert Pattinson got in there, they'd be different. So tonally, it seems like there has been a shift.
A lot more sort of preschool energy, but, you know, people love it.
Did that movie come out?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah, we don't know. Okay. We don't know about that. Yeah, that's all I got to say about any of this, right?
So compelling, like, and very erotic, just like the way they were staring at each other. They were so close. They were just breathing in each other's mouths. Like, these men can do no wrong.
I really, it's true. It's like, you guys are carrying the whole company on your back right now for me, because if I'm not horny, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. The world is full of things I can watch. Okay.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So good for them. I can't wait to watch that match and to see how, just see what happened, you know?
You said that in such like a beaten down tone. Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that, I guess.
Well, it's still 2 weeks away, and that's a lot of time. It's a lot of shows before then. A lot of shows before then, at least three of them. And this one tomorrow is long, 2 hours.
It's two hours. I mean, on the one hand, like, at least they're putting Battle of the Belts on the same night, because maybe we just get it all over with, and Battle of the Belts always sucks, so I don't know.
Well, maybe someone will lose a belt. We're going to be talking about it. Hey, we're going to be talking about it, so let's move on. Leah, were you trying to say something, or?
No.
No. No, baby. Okay, now we're coming back to Sammy. We're circling back on Sammy. So during Dynamite yesterday, when we watched the match, the prevailing thought that everyone had was that Sammy had started the fight with Andrade, which it turned out he hadn't. So good for him.
The fact that Sammy has just been punched multiple times in the past month, well, and other people get suspended because he's just getting punched because no one can help themselves from punching Sammy.
I know. Well,
it's comedy.
It's something. It's really do be something.
It's just the idea that Andrade looked at the roster and was like,
I want to get fired.
I need to pick one person that I can punch and it won't damage my whole rep because people will be like, yeah, no, I get it.
It's true.
Like instantly, of course, Sammy is your right choice.
It's like
his name is Highlight. It's pre-highlighted. You're just like, yeah, the choice has been made for me. The list spoke.
It wasn't even Meltzer like, well, Sammy is very unpopular.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he did. He did say that. Anyway, so we all thought that, I mean, just like the internet, that's pretty much what the internet thought going into the match. So that did cast, this was the showdown, the final countdown, the last showstopper, the last dance. This was it. This was the end of the line. This was the end of everything, buddy. It was the last match of the night. So the vibes were pretty rancid going into this match, I think, because everyone was kind of like, why the fuck is this guy still here? Why is Sammy still allowed to wrestle?
Because like TK had canceled the Andrade match already, but then they were like advertising the Sammy one, and it was like, had they just not pulled it? And then they were advertising it like with Sammy there, and it was like, what the fuck?
Right, because Fightful had said they were like both Andrade and Sammy were home. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody was like, who are they going to put in for Sammy? And it was like, Sammy's there.
I think Fightful really didn't do their due diligence on this one, because I think I don't think they said we got it from TMZ, which like kind of would have
they did after,
it would have covered their ass if at the time they just said we got this from TMZ.
TMZ is reporting that whatever. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I feel Sean like Rassap, that's a note for me.
The fact that apparently Andrade called himself and they were just like, yeah, sounds right. Like Andrade said that Sammy punched him. What could be the ulterior motive?
I think every day SRS rediscovers journalism. He's like, it turns out you should check your sources. You should get multiple sources. Yeah, you should disclose your sources. Some of this stuff, it turns out, should be doing.
He's like telling us, he's just like, what you might not know is that when you hear something, you should just get a couple of people to weigh in and back it up. So that's just a hot tip from me to you if you want to get in the biz. Journalism. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. But so this was for Sammy and Jericho versus Brian Danielson and Danny Garcia. And the crowd was crazed about how little they liked Sammy. Well,
the crowd seemed very aware of this news story from right before. Like, reception in that arena must have been great, because they all seemed to know that. Yeah. I know, like, we couldn't get anything when we were in All Out. But, which kind of surprised me, because sometimes I'm just like, how much are people reading the dirt sheets that are in the audience of AEW in general? Because, like, there was at least once when, like, Max Caster referenced, like, the all-hands meeting in his rap, and, like, no one reacted at all. And I was like, no one cares about that. But then other stuff like this, it was like, oh, they were, like, chanting for Andrade. Yeah. Like, everyone knew, which is crazy.
I think I saw either on Reddit or on Twitter somewhere that the crowd in real life wasn't as, like, it wasn't as anti-Sammy as it seemed. Like, they said it was like seemed evenly split between people who were anti-Sammy and people who didn't know who was coming out next, you know, like which is interesting, because it's like, it makes it sound like it's like there's no medium fans. It's either you are extremely online, or you just came because you thought they looked fun.
Yeah, like your friend invited you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. But Sammy got a lot of "you suck" chants. He got a lot of "are you still
fuck
suck?"
You. Fuck you, Sammy. Yeah, fucking you, Sammy. And
anyway,
it
kind of
looked like it was getting to him too, which was satisfying.
Oh, did you think so? I didn't think so at all. But really? I wasn't.
I just thought there were some moments where his face just looked a little bit like.
Well, yeah, because I mean, there was definitely at least one like extremely cool move that like should have gotten a big reaction and like just got a "you still suck." And like, I definitely think like he wasn't, I don't think he was crushed or anything, but I think he had like a little bit of a gritted teeth look on his face.
Well, dude, you should have listened to fucking Billy Gunn when you had the chance. Like, have a character.
Your goddamn personality.
You know,
my
sympathy is in hell right now, because I am like, for Sammy specifically, the situation has been this way for so long.
And he's
that
done
it's,
nothing different. He hasn't changed like a single thing he's doing.
He hasn't changed anything. Well, he changed his, he got a new intro video actually. So he got a new intro video. But I'm just like, you need to go away for a while. Like, sometimes people clearly, they have to go away for a while. Like, now we've been into wrestling for long enough that we understand the idea of like, you know what? Sometimes you get a break from someone and they come back and you like them more. It's not true. That deep.
It's true. Or even like, if you were like going to do something stupid, like a Jericho thing, and be like, no, I'm the pain maker. Like, get a different costume and do something, you know, try to put on a different personality, basically.
Right, but it's like, he's not.
I mean, I don't know that would work,
in the first place,
he's not even trying. Well, yeah.
He's the opposite of Hugh Grant in The Attic with the costumes, because he just come in every day as himself, and himself is sucks. He has a bad personality to watch mm-hmm. on TV.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's not crazy.
I'd have more sympathy for him if everyone still hated him, but at least he was trying to do something different, but he is not. So I have zero. Yeah.
I love the message of this podcast. We're like, if everyone doesn't like you, you probably are the problem.
Well, if everyone doesn't.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's kind of like, don't be yourself.
If everyone doesn't like you, change who you are. That's what we always say.
I don't know.
But it's kind of a little after school special here. Yeah.
It's kind of right, I guess. Okay, so this was the end of. Oh, and then so Sammy got the pin on little Danny Garcia.
Sammy of all of them, like that it wasn't Jericho who got the pin, like it was Sammy who got the pin. It was just so, it was such an ending to this.
Yeah. So it was like, cause a lot of the match had been like Daniel Garcia and Jericho were clearly having, you mm-hmm. know, the tension of a son and a father lover, and, you know, you not turning into the man I thought you'd be. I don't want to be the man you thought I'd be, that kind of thing. But yeah, so Sammy got the pin on little DG. And then I think we got some post-match vamping. Am I making this up? That was more like, I'll dishonor Ring of Honor. Ring of Dishonor, you and me, Brian Danielson.
I kind of disassociated at that point.
I was
so
mad. Yeah, I don't know. It's quite possible. Yeah.
Okay, I think that happened. So this was the end of the anniversary episode on which we did not see... any members of the Elite. Hey, spoiler alert. The Elite didn't show up.
No EVPs and this whatsoever. Cody's gone forever. The rest of them. Yeah.
There's a Twitter. There's a Twitter account I follow that is getting ever more dramatic. And like, I applaud her, where she just posted a picture of Hangman and said, the Elite anniversary episode, and he's the last one left.
It's, we can laugh because we're like,
yeah, I'm with her.
I've been crying about that for weeks, yeah.
This was a real downer ending for, like, I don't know. It was just, like, weird where when they were booking it, it's not that I don't think that good guys always need to win. And I don't even necessarily think they need to win at the end of, like, a special show. But it did just kind of feel like, what story are we telling here
I know.
Right now?
Yeah. And let's say there is a story. That's one of those matches where maybe you check out what's going on in the crowd and maybe call a little audible on that one.
Like, maybe we have Jericho finish this one.
Yeah, let's change this around a little bit, huh?
I know. He doesn't seem to be a big audible guy.
No. Even when he's like playing something for 3 months, he can't like shift 2 weeks ahead of time if something needs to change. But yeah, when you ask if it was an appropriate end to the anniversary episode, it was kind of interesting because I was like, well, on the one hand, like, Sammy is, like, an AEW, like, homegrown original, which they are kind of pushing. But it's, like, but he's the one everyone hates. So it's not a great choice. And I honestly thought the rest of the episode, I mean, I did start drinking partway through, and then it got much more fun. But I thought the episode was pretty solid most of the way through. Like, there were a lot of fun things happening. So to have this ending was just like, oh, fuck off. Like,
would you agree with Daniel Garcia when he tweeted, last night felt great until it didn't?
I would strongly agree with that, yeah. That's an exact description of what happened to me.
Breaking news, and now supports Daniel Garcia.
I think this was a little bit of that feeling of, you know, we talk about at the pay-per-views, like the pay-per-view, it's like, you know, the season finale and it launches the new storylines or whatever. I think that in my mind, I was like, the anniversary episode should also like say something about like what the company has been and what it is and what it wants to be. And I don't know that I actually got that out of this episode. And I definitely didn't get it out of this ending where I was just like, the company, it makes me feel bad and I feel bad and I don't feel good.
Yeah. No, I mean, on a television show, like the 100th episode is usually, I think, the one that would be like a good mirror for this. Like, usually, like, it's self-referential and it says, like, this is what we're trying to do here. Yeah. It's like something that's like, look at how far we've grown. And it's just like, well, This was a regular episode where they just kept repeating that it was the anniversary. So
you could do such a fun fake clip show, like the fake clip show episode of Community. You could do such a that fun version of that in wrestling where you just are running back feuds all night and being like, you again. Like, Tony's never going to do it. I don't think he doesn't like that kind of thing, I think. Like, and probably a lot of wrestling fans would also be like, that sucks ass. But I think it would be fun, and I think it would be cool. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I do wonder if the Elite being suspended meant that they didn't. Because I feel like if you do any kind of retrospective or like, you know, here's how we started, like you're just like, oh, it's true. Like you got to show like everyone who's not allowed to be there. So,
yeah, it's true. It's hard to be like, look at how far we've come when you can't really turn around too much.
You're like, here's the press conference where we announced. Oh, never mind. Like, we can't look at any of those guys.
Like we made it. Look how far we've come. Yep. Well, I guess that, yeah, free the Elite. Come on.
If they had unsuspended free the Elite, fucking they Elite. Could have done a great anniversary show. Just something to think about.
What are they investigating? I know we're at the point where it's just like, they're not going to tell us before they come back. They're not going to be like, the investigation's done. It's not going to be like the Try Guys, okay? We're not going to get what the Try Guys
transparency, the transparency and the moral authority of the Try Guys. The YouTube's fact that Try Guys.
Not in a million years.
I would give $1 million for BTE to come back with an episode that's just titled, What Happened?
What Happened?
And it's just soberly sitting on a couch. Yeah, like
Kenny, Matt, and Nick sitting on a couch. One looks enraged. One looks like he's about to cry. And the other one looks like, no.
Who's Eugene? Who's Eugene?
Oh, Matt is Eugene.
It's Matt, yeah. Well, I'd love to see it. Hey, I'd love to see it.
At this point, like, I'm sure they're trying to, like, work it, you know, at this point. So they're not going to tell us. But it's like, it really just feels like it would be better to just be like, look, we investigated it. The Elite are suspended for 2 months. Like, I would be able to enjoy the show better. I mean, I'd be rip shit. But, like, at least I would be like, okay, they're not coming back till November. And, like, I'll live with it.
I was thinking, like, what if Trish's podcast host guy is correct and they really do not come back till Full Gear?
I mean, it's looking that way. Like,
I'll kill myself.
I know. But if they told me now, I could, like, make my peace with it.
I don't know. We got to go on winter break or something. Or we got to do a special run of episodes where we're talking about anything but wrestling or something. Because
this podcast.
Mommy's drugs to funk.
I think if they gave us a hard date and they were like, they're coming back the week after Thanksgiving. I would like give up on watching. Like, it would really be hard to motivate to
watch.
That's why
they'll never tell us.
Because he wants specifically our three eyes waiting.
Yeah, he wants our eyes. We have six eyes. We have six eyes. But yeah, he doesn't want them all, I believe. Yeah, specifically.
He's never going to get all six of our eyes. At best, he'll get all
three. And actually, you and I are both wearing glasses. So in a way, what are we up to? 10 eyes? 10 whole eyes.
Again, he'll never get all of those.
And you know why he's not worried about keeping our viewership? He's like, those girls have a podcast. Like, they have to watch no matter what happens, no matter how badly they don't want to watch this week.
Yeah. Atlas can't put the globe down.
Jokes on him. Every week we come closer to turning this pod into just like, what did you girls do this week?
We are rewatching Lost. We could just start a Lost discussion pod. God.
And there's a lot to say. There's a Lost to say. Lost okay, to say. We gotta move on.
I have
on.
Thoughts on flashbacks as a narrative device. Yeah, we could get into it.
You know. Okay, we have to move on. MJF and Wheeler Yuta had their big long match on Dynamite. They really went to the mats. At times, it was hard to focus on the violence sex that they were doing over the commentary sex that William Regal was doing. I'd love for someone to, Leah, I see you, speak.
What the hell was he on? He walked up to that desk and he's like, I just want to let you guys know that I do want to fuck Excalibur. I do. But I'll only do it if he invites me to do
he
it.
Wants
I it. Would never, I would never take, what was it, dangerous liberties with this man? And then, like, I think Taz was like, so about this match that we're commentating. And Regal let them go off it for, like, 30 seconds. And then he was like, again, I think MJF looks like a real villain. But me, I'm a bad guy. I'm a real bad guy. But again, I've never fucked anybody who didn't want it.
Yeah. He says, I've got three words for you. Safe, sane, and sensual.
Do you think that William Regal has started playing a little game with himself called, how far can I take this before someone says something to me? And so far, no one said anything.
He was apparently on this podcast where somebody was like, why do you do that? And he was like, well, Excalibur seems really stressed out. And so sometimes I like to show up and make him giggle a little. And I was like, That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
So sweet. It's because he loves Excalibur, is what he said?
Yeah, basically. He says because it's a genuine flirtation.
Because I genuinely care about him and his happiness.
That's crazy. It's not what's going deep. On is
he's
crazy.
Just so cute when he looked cute, you know?
When someone looked cute, what can you do?
I get that, yeah. Well, I'm glad that he really made it clear to us that only if Excalibur wants it.
And the people need to hear that.
No. And then if Excalibur said no, he would stop. And Excalibur giggles to himself.
He just giggles, yeah. He just giggles. So, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a message that the people need to hear. It's like, yeah, we should be saying that all the time. Men, you don't touch someone who doesn't want it. Even if he's wearing a mask, you know, like you just check in.
Normally, of course, we all think that consent doesn't apply to men in masks, but it does. It does.
I guess because they're often like burglars or so. Then you don't. Cereal it's a different killers. Set of considerations about consent when it comes to a burglar or a serial killer. Yeah, exactly. Sure, like they don't have to consent to you like stopping them from doing robberies. Is this anything? No. Okay.
I definitely don't think that we should be doing a sex podcast. I'll tell you that for free. I don't think we're that good at it.
Are we not doing one now?
I kind of thought we were. Yeah.
A little bit.
We wade in those waters,
as it were. It's a little spice.
Okay. MJF won. Was this? This was clean. He won clean, right?
He won clean. Yeah.
Yeah. I was shocking. Shocked.
He was, I mean, I got really distracted by the Regal thing, but like he spent the entire week putting Yuta over.
Hugely.
Like the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then he won clean. Like, I don't know. Like, I have to stop. Like, what is going on? And then when the handshake thing where he almost shook Yuta's hand.
That was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is going on with Mr. MJF? It was
like, what is this narrative? I know. Because and then, like, he was upset because Lee Moriarty, like, went and hit Yuta right as MJF was about to shake his hand. And it's like, is MJF mad that someone assaulted his opponent? Like,
he was like, I didn't ask you to do that. I didn't ask you to do that. And it was like, what's going on with you and Yuta?
Yeah,
like,
what's happening? I think he's a little cute boy. Is that what's happening?
That's so sweet. A little, they said the girls are so mad. But maybe if we did a little romance storyline for them.
I mean.
Yeah, you'll always get me with it. You'll always get me with it. But I do think the whole thing has been actually quite confusing. And I don't really know what they're doing. But I'm having a good time. I'm along for the ride. I just can't really guess like what's going to happen. Yeah. So
well, it's very weird to have MJF just like turn on his whole persona and not be like. Yeah, what's happening inside that little head? And I don't feel like it's been fully explained, which they might explain.
No, not at all.
I don't think he's fully turning. And, like, I trust MJF to be, like, he's going to tell us what's going on. But, like, it is very interesting to be, like if he... I think MJF is really good about following the rules about you have to know what he wants. You know what I mean? Like, he's always making sure that you understand his motivations, and he's starting a new motivation. Like whatever's going on is brand new, and it's okay that we don't know it right now. And I have faith that he's going to tell us, but I am not sure what it's going to be.
Well, do you think, I think I'm trying to reach back too far to like a time when we weren't watching or we weren't paying enough attention, but it's very interesting for Yuta to try to shake MJF's hand, and in the BCC, that handshake has clearly, we've set it up. It means like, I respect you. They were doing a lot of respectful handshakes. It was actually a few too many, but
in a row overdid it a little bit. Yeah.
Right. But the handshake means I respect you. And actually MJF doesn't like get respected by people much. True. Like it makes them mad. And then like, you know, it's like he rejects people before they can reject him. If you do it in a simplistic way, like he's like, no one ever tries to be like, I respect you for what happened. So there's a little bit of like you to try to, he's kind of passing on. Like, this is what I learned from my sex mentors, my BDSM daddies, is like that if someone beats you clean, like they deserve your respect. And MJF doesn't experience that much. So I think it is actually interesting for him to have that moment where he's like, oh, like he may be discovering a new desire. Like, actually I do want that. And then did we say that the reason that it didn't happen, or not necessarily, but a reason in the moment that it didn't happen was that Lee Moriarty interrupted and knocked Yuta over, and MJF was like, I told you not to do that. And then we had a whole thing where then Stokely Hathaway came out and was like, punch him with your beautiful ring. And he was going to do it, but he was kind of having a conflict. And then William Regal came out with some brass knuckles.
He looked very disappointed, which was pretty funny to me too. He wasn't running. He was just like, oh,
sometimes. I try to teach him about respect, and then someone just still gets out there, big old ring. Well, I have a ring too. So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know what any of this is doing, but I think maybe I talked myself into being even more interested in it than I was.
Yeah. Love when that happens.
Hey, recreational talking has its perks. I do just want to say, before we move on, MJF's body looking like really good. And I think that someone finally said, please wear a different size and cut of panty. And he did it, and it looked much better. Thank you so much.
Really good.
Thank you so much.
Crazy how long he was wearing ill-fitting panties, actually.
I know. Just
unfortunate.
It's like, are you rich or what? Are you rich or not?
Right?
Well, I guess Tony gave him a raise, and he could afford new panties.
Wow, it all hangs together. Yeah.
That's storytelling. That's long-term storytelling. Okay. The Acclaimed, Butcher and the Blade and Private Party had a three-way tag match for the belts on Rampage, and the Acclaimed retained. And then on Dynamite, we got a long in-ring National Scissoring Day segment in which they had everyone offer each other a sign of peace.
They literally said at this point,
nod.
In the service, didn't they?
Yeah, they did say that, yes. I guess I wasn't thinking about it because I just got rocketed back to my own Catholic school days, but yes, they did say it. So everyone scissored their neighbors, and Max Caster told us that scissoring is truly bipartisan, and scissoring can heal our country. And he was going to heal our country with it, but then Swerve interrupted. I didn't understand where this rock came from. Was I supposed to know about this rock, or is it just a rock?
I think it's just the punchline to the Rock's Beats Scissors.
I would have brought the rock up earlier somewhere else, I guess. But yeah, rock, paper, scissors. And then Mark Sterling came out. He had the paper, and the paper was, get Swerve out of here. So am I doing a really good job? I think I might be. Do you want to say something, Leah? Jump in,
no,
please.
No, not. I mean, you are doing a really good recitation really good. Of events. I think the people are going to love it.
She says, you sure are talking, so why not keep going? Hey, when the words are coming out of your mouth, don't stop. Keep saying them. Why not? And Mark Sterling showed up, and he says, Swerve, get out of here. I have a paper. And then, thank God, because we're at a celebration, so he got to get goofed on. Mark Sterling.
Yeah.
And so what happened?
He got scissored.
Yeah. They held his legs like he was in a gynecological stirrup.
I don't like what you just said to me. I really don't like that.
I can't dispute it, though. It was crazy.
I want to, but okay, go on.
Yeah, yes. That's the description of what they did.
That's what happened. Okay. And then they scissored. Oh yeah, in fact, in the celebration, they were like scissoring. Oh, it's just a polite handshake.
It's a sign of friendship.
Yeah,
while the audience laughed. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they proceeded to be like, no, it's about
Anthony Bowen's going to jump on him with his legs spread. Spread legs.
I guess that they made the point that anyone can do it.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's true. They said it's for everyone.
I mean, it's an expression of Max Caster's sexuality, whatever that might be. So.
Yeah. And what I would say about scissoring is it's for everyone and in a way for no one, actually. Except it's a sign of the Lord's peace. So I would say my big takeaway here, this was like the lightest, like nicest point of the night for me, just because... Mm-hmm. I'm like, this went on a really good amount of time for a celebration. Mm-hmm. You guys are both really good talker. Billy Gunn was a good talker. Billy Gunn did some talking. He's going to fight Swerve Strickland next week. That'll be interesting.
He had his Scissor Me Daddy t-shirt knotted up like a 12-year-old girl. Did make it a crop top. Loved it.
Loved that. It just like felt good. I was just like, oh, this is nice. And he thought it was cute at all.
Did such a good job of doing like a politician, like the little the hand he didn't point, like details were on.
I genuinely had a moment where I was like, I'd vote for him. I'd vote for him whatever office he'd run in. But what was 100%. Killing me is that the whole time that he was talking, Max Caster kept like looking around, like he was almost disassociating, where he was like, I cannot believe that this is happening. Like he just kept having like a really incredulous look on his face where he's like, This wasn't supposed to happen. I was supposed to get fired.
It's wild. Like that he just was like a horny, nasty boy in like 30 different ways like a year and a half ago. And then Tony was like, you can keep the stupid scissoring thing. And now it's like National Scissoring Day. And JR and Tony Schiavone are having to say it over and over. Like,
yeah,
I think everyone is.
Like, and Alton Brown said it.
Yeah.
That was insane. I couldn't really engage with that. But
And I don't think anyone really, like, no one expected it to happen for sure. And no one understands why it's happening, including all of us delighted by it. It's like, I don't know. I don't know why.
I don't think they know. Great. Yeah, they don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. But they are our homegrown champs, and I do love them. So this was nice.
It was so nice.
This was nice.
I really needed it.
It was really uncomplicated for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There was nothing bad to feel about it. They made one little joke about how they weren't a tag team that was just thrown together randomly, even though that is what they were. So, but that's just nice. That's just a nice thing to think about.
That was sweet. That made you think, like, oh, I guess you've done one or two things right, Tony. Not recently, but one or two once in the far distant past. Okay. So finally we get to the world of the women. So, Jamie Hayter defeated Willow Nightingale on Rampage in a crowd in a match that the crowd had clamored for, which I thought was really good. And I would, it's like the crowd organically had just been like, we like these women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We think they're cool.
They are cool. And it's just like, it makes me so pleased to see the crowd like just being like, yeah, we love these ladies. Like, cause they're delightful. Like,
yeah,
it's good.
And then on Dynamite, Britt cut a promo saying that Saraya, Saraya isn't cleared to fight. So she was like, you all want to know if she's cleared to fight? Well, she's not. And this was before the women had their trios match. So it was Tony, Athena, and Willow versus Jamie, Serena, and Penelope. I really just looked at those names and was like, I don't know who these women are. But yeah.
Brain really giving out at the stage in the podcast.
It kind of is. And I think you guys can see it on my face where I keep just kind of going blank. Like, what is happening here? So Saraya and Britt and Rebel were ringside. Saraya was doing a lot of like cheating interference. Britt was trying to cheat a lot. And the faces ultimately won. Willow got the pin. Somehow, I don't know about this. Everyone ended up fighting some more because they like it. They like to fight. Yeah. And then, surprise, Saraya also fought and she punched someone and kicked someone. She did punch and kick.
Well, I think it was Britt. Good. Britt tweeted, I just wanted to say, you touched me first. And I thought that was a little bit of a like.
Excuse me? excuse me, what? All right. Okay. And then later in the show, Willow cut a promo with Jade asking for a title match, which she will get at Battle of the Belts on Friday. Is that right?
Yeah.
It is, right? Okay, great.
Delightful.
So what do you guys think of the women's division this week?
I thought they did great this week. Like, I really enjoyed this trios match. Like, it was moving fast. Like, everyone is their own person who I know and understand. Someone I saw on Twitter was like, the women's division is actually doing way better now that Penelope Ford is back, which I hadn't really thought about, but might be true. I was
She's been really good since she got back. I feel confident when I say that, right. Like, I think somebody is good because someone online will always tell me I'm not right. But I really like Penelope Ford. And I think, and I like her wrestling, and I think she's doing a good job. So that's what I think.
And I think
I can't prove it with facts.
No, certainly not. But she's like a different heel energy from like Jamie and Serena's separate heel energy. So it was just, I had a lot of fun.
Well, that's like the very interesting thing about this group of people is that like all six of them have very specific kind of characters that like are like I can name what's going on like personality wise with all of them, which you can't always do.
No.
You know, because sometimes the gimmick is I'm very pretty, but like that's not what's happening here.
Right.
So true, bestie. No, I agree. They're all like really bringing a specific energy to the table, and they were all like they were doing really cool moves. They look good together. It was fun to watch.
I thought having six of them was really good too, because like usually Tony to me is pretty boring, and Serena also like they kind of drag things down, but like they were only like a third of the people out there, so like I felt like they were adding rather than subtracting, which was nice for a change of pace.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I think it's like not. Well, I don't know. I can't even get into it. But I think for the women, like, they're not getting as much time. If they can have a good, like, trios match, if you have the people there and it's going to be a good match, do it and get more of them out there and have it be, like, more nonstop because the crowd doesn't always have as much patience for the women. I think it's just true.
Yeah. And they got to go on at 9 instead of 9:20, which I feel like is better, probably. Just like
I don't know, and I can't really get. I won't be internalizing anything about those quarter hours. That's not for me. That's not my business. And I won't be learning it, and you can't make me.
But I just feel like an hour in, you're like definitely, you know, still a little fresher than.
I think. That yeah, it definitely is. Is more. It's not. You're not at that point where you're like, do I have to go? You know, put something in the oven before the showstopper. Mm-hmm. I guess that's how the quarter hours work. That's really what it's about. Like, when are people going to the bathroom? When are they going to use the oven? When are they getting a new drink? Sure.
Their other program finished up at 9, so they switched over. Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is the program. I'm always on this program. Like, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Tony has my eye.
Contractually obligated to be there the whole time.
We tried to break our contract. We tried to break it and
Tony
go back
won't
to
let
WWE.
Us out of it.
He won't let us out. He said, ladies, you signed a 5-year deal. And you
Should
are
we
gonna
punch Sammy, baby.
I would love just for fun.
I get access.
I would really just like to lecture him, to be honest with you. Like, if I could get Sammy in a room and just like lecture him, that's what I would like to do.
I think at a certain point he'd be like, can you just hit me?
I wouldn't do it. I simply wouldn't do it. I would say no. Because I fight with my words. I think I come off in a good light here. I'm not worried about it at all. Okay. And then, do you want to talk about what Anna Jay and Ty Conti are up to? Or I don't really want to.
No,
I don't think it's cool.
They're fighting
Sky Blue and Madison Rain, and they had a promo. And like, it is what it is, but kind of free them. Free them from what's happening over there. Let's dive into our extra section. Can someone answer this question for me? Is Hook joining the Trust Busters?
I didn't see that at all. Where did you see that? Was that on Rampage?
It was on Rampage, and they dropped
a contract or something.
They dropped a fistful of money, or an envelope of money.
Oh, was that like a back? Was that like a backstage? Is that like a backstage segment?
No, it was when he hit Ryan Nemeth.
So I was there? And I saw that?
Oh my God, yeah.
You were physically there, yeah.
Physically present, yeah.
Well. Yeah, well. I was like, oh, so this must be like something you guys saw at home and I didn't see.
It was in the ring.
I was there.
It was definitely in the ring. And Ryan Nemeth also has like retweeted it about 300 times this week, so.
Well, I don't follow Ryan Nemeth, Dan.
I know you're too busy following Daniel Garcia, but.
Well, okay, Daniel Garcia is a really good follow.
Yeah, and I would also say I'm also following like 3 or 4fan accounts for Daniel Garcia, but that's my business.
So your feed's pretty full of that.
Yeah,
I
would say it's like a Garcia centered.
So Leah can't keep up with Ryan Nemeth because on Twitter she follows Daniel Garcia and 3 Daniel Garcia fan accounts. That's all she follows.
And yeah. One Matt Jackson fan account that's like slowly going insane.
Yeah, she's fine. And I think she has a BTE. I think it's the same person who does the BTE one too. And I'm like, wow, you're having a rough time. I'm having a rough time. I get it. But I'm on this podcast talking about a rough time. So
she posted a picture of Kenny Omega looking sadly out of a window and with the caption, waiting.
Honestly, I laugh, but yeah, I mean, kind of my soul is speaking through that account, I think. So
yeah, I mean, what can I say? My brain's out to dinner. Do you want to talk about any of this? Wardlow fought Brian Cage. I think Brian Cage is back.
Wild.
It's good that Wardlow fought someone big.
It was big, and it was like a competitive match. Like, he was like really putting Wardlow through it. And Sarah and I got into a very stupid fight because halfway through this match, I was like, you know what? It would, like, I'm sort of rooting for Brian Cage. And she was like, what? And I was like, it would be incredible comedy at this point and what they've done to Brian Cage to suddenly give him the belt. And she turned to me, and in all seriousness, she was not fucking with me. She turned to me and she said, if Brian Cage won a belt before any member of Best Friends, that would be my elite suspension moment.
That's
and I was
crazy.
Like, are you fucking, is this, are you, am I clowning you? Brian Cage is your elite suspension moment? Get out of my life.
Oh my God.
We gotta have a fight about that.
Sarah, love you so much, but that's wackadoo. That's absolutely wackadoo. These things are not, one of these things is not like the other. They are not the same. We are not the same.
Give Brian Cage a belt.
Yeah, sure. Give him a belt. Give his big gorilla body a belt. Why not? I bet that belt is just only as big as one of his nippies, one of his little nips. That's a yeah, that's a belt. Give him a comically small belt. Oh my god, give him a comically small belt, and it's only the size of his nipple, and he wears it like a band-aid.
We solved it. Tony, please unblock us. Let us send your DMs again, please.
Okay. You weigh
during this match too, like Leah reminded me that my brother had taken a picture with Brian Cage like years ago back like in Seattle in the Indies, and so we got it back out, and it just never fails to bring me joy because like my brother is normal size and Brian Cage is inhuman. It's just
every part of his body is tremendous. It's too big. It's too big for
it's
what it is.
God and nature. Yeah, it's
I
not
agree.
Right.
He made a deal.
Yeah.
With
MJF maybe gave him this body.
Okay, Kate Bush.
Brian Cage has been running up that hill this whole time. Oh my god. Okay. Swap our places. Freaky Friday, AU, Brian Cage, Wardlow. They both have big bodies.
Yeah,
well, they're different men. They're not the same man. Who's a small man that we could have switch bodies with Brian Cage?
Isaiah
Cassidy.
Orange
Cassidy, do not touch that man's body. Stays in his body where I need it.
No. I
don't
think
you want to see him doing stuff in like a Wardlow Brian Cage body, though? Like,
yeah, Allie, I need you to think about this for a minute.
No, it's not safe. They barely switched back. It's not
come
safe.
Come on. I really feel like you need to like think stop about the it. Comedy of this, of like Brian Cage in Orange Cassidy's body trying to like pick things up and like struggling. And then like Orange Cassidy in Brian Cage's body trying to do his comedies and like
I like accidentally- that you've got into a full kayfabe scenario where they actually are in each other's body, so you're not even being like OC pretending to be
Brian Cage. No, we've invented the Freaky Friday technology.
Okay, we have the technology. Yeah. There's not even any technology. It's just the book was really scary. Did you read the book?
No, should I? Aww. I'm into books now.
Books for children, but yeah, again, I'm a reader now. Yeah, I'm not I don't like wrestling anymore. I like reading.
You said it's for children.
I work with children. It's for children.
But if you want to read it, I guess. Well, I recommended it.
I didn't recommend it. I said, did you ever read it?
Did you ever read it? No. Should I? Well, it's for children.
Well, I was a very sensitive child, and I should go back and look at it because I don't know what it was, but it, like, really scared. Like, I was, like, kind of freaked out
like,
by
what
it.
About it? Like,
I don't know. I said I have to go back and look at it, I guess.
Well, I thought you'd have kind of a general idea.
I don't. It's like a sensory thing where I'm like, ugh. When I think about it. And then the movie was so different for me. I was like, wow, this makes it kind of fun, but it was actually scary. And the but it wasn't. It was normal, and they switched back. But they might not have. And I, okay. Well, we were actually kind of over time.
What I think this episode has been, once again, extremely normal. Good.
What if Darby and Brian Cage switch bodies?
Yeah, imagine Darby just throwing Brian's Cage's body off of things just to see what'll happen. He's Darby, like, I bet this muscles will bounce higher.
It's just Brian, just a little skit that's like Brian Cage. Darby is Brian Cage being like, I'm not a bouncy ball. So please do not throw yourself off of anything. And Darby's like, I get itchy if I don't. Yeah, I get really itchy if I don't.
I just picture like a really good moment where like Brian Cage steps onto a skateboard and it immediately cracks and he just makes like the saddest face.
He has to find like those Home Depot like utility carts. He's trying to use those as a skateboard instead because they can hold his
weight.
I like
that your conception of it is that Brian Cage is kind of like too huge for human. Like he sits on a couch, it breaks. Like he's just like trying to open a door and it flies off its hinges. Like nothing's made to scale.
We're even talking about it this way is actually making me be like, I love Brian Cage.
I know. Unfortunately, now I find him kind of charming.
So fun. He breaks everything he touches.
He's so sad.
With his big body.
Big gorilla body.
He's got too many muscles.
In an airplane seat, you know? They gotta put
someone
in the
should
cargo.
Confiscate some. Someone should take his muscle.
Tony, your locker room's out of control.
You just let him in with all those muscles?
What did you think was going to happen?
What if Brian Cage is one of Tony's 8 evil exes who wants to be at WWE?
We'll literally never find out what happened in the investigation.
No, he'll break Tony.
Yeah.
Well, we've gone 10 minutes over, so I guess we should wrap it up.
Every minute worth it.
Okay. Did I miss anything? You got anything? Hey, anything else you want to say?
You know what? We should really get into and then like start another 20-minute conversation.
I would just let you do it because honestly, this is the most joy I've felt in quite some time, and it comes from Brian Cage.
That is a surprise, but you know, once we start talking, we can really do some therapy on ourselves. We'll find a little enrichment activity for ourselves in our sad, dark enclosure with nothing.
What people don't talk about enough is it is so important to be the kind of person who reaches the deepest depths of misery, and then you find a little hole in the bottom of the hole, and it's like a sewer grate. You open it up, and on the other side is comedy, and you just laugh.
I thought you were going to say on the other side is Brian Cage.
In a way, that is what she said, yeah. I thought you were going to say it's the clown from It.
Oh, well, he's fun. He's very funny, so...
Yeah, he does a funny...
My comfort character.
the titular It.
It from the movie It?
It's actually named Pennywise. Oh, right. Yeah. The titular character. Oh, how we laugh. You gotta laugh. You gotta laugh to keep from crying. And you gotta smile to keep from not smiling. So on that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Pennywise.
Oh, no.
The titular character. And this is Tunnel Talk. Tunnel Talk the Clown. Is that anything? No.
It's not. No.
Could that be our mascot?
If we released album art, it would be or album art, podcast art, episode.
Oh my god!
Art?
Okay, this is it's Tunnel Talk the Clown, and then it's Jungle Boy next to him, looking so scared, and he's saying, "Mom, come pick me up." They made a clown mess. Okay, our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Just please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You're going to want to after you heard all this. And come back next week because we'll probably be doing much better.